This is a glad sight to see people, real people. You see them right up at the front here. Have the children here. You children need to behave. You're right in front of the preacher today. And we're so delighted to see you in the house of God after 3.5 months not being able to come to public worship. Might be a few people still to get seated, but we'll make a start anyhow. We come to the house of God to worship the Lord, as we have done every Lord's Day since this building was opened, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to come into his courts with praise, and to be thankful unto him and bless his name. Just want to remind you, you've got this either through the announcement WhatsApp group or through the post, that as a church we're delighted that you've returned to worship in God's house. It's an answer to prayer. There are still restrictions applying, and as such, church attendance will be somewhat different to what we've been used to in order to ensure the safety of everyone and following the guidelines. That is important. So you should not attend if you or a member of your household are experiencing or recovering from the symptoms of COVID-19. And number two, shielded and vulnerable individuals. Well, there's a wee note on that, and I think there are those who are shielding perhaps to the end of this month. If you're over 70, you're very welcome here. You just need to exercise more care. Arriving in church, I think you've had this experience now. It's going to take a little bit longer, and we're requesting families to sit together. So if you come in separate cars, make sure you arrive at church together. Everyone will enter the church at the Carson Complex linked door, so the main church doors will not be opened until you're leaving the building. The floor has been clearly marked, you've seen that, in 2 meter intervals to ensure social distancing, and there's hand sanitizing station just there as you were coming in. As we are maintaining safe and social distancing at all times, wearing a face mask is not required. You are free to wear one if you wish. No problem with that. We were in the seating. Well, I think that's all been introduced to you as you come to the house of God and how we're filling the church. The service initially, the entire service will remain seated. So if I make a mistake, I said this on Thursday night, let's all stand to sing. Don't stand. We're going to just keep our seats as we sing today. We will remain seated while singing. No hymn books will be in the pews. You'll see it, the words displayed on the screen behind me. If you want to bring your own hymn book, you can do that. No offerings are lifted during the service. If you can continue, for those who have been doing so, with the online banking, that would be a great help. There's also baskets at the door as you leave. The toilets, like going back to those days of school, go before you come. And that's a good practice for all, but the toilets are open coming in the link part, and then you'll see that only one person can go into the gents at a time and two in the ladies because of the social distancing. During the service, only the disabled toilets available for use if that is needed. The creche facilities, we've explained that to the parents who may need to take their children out. There'll be a room allocated to you, and at the end of the service, you'll be shown pew by pew how to leave, with the stewards helping with that. The online facilities continue for those who are unable to attend, and so we will be broadcasting on sermon audio and also on Facebook. And if you have neither, you let folks know, we can provide them with the DVD. So we'll be much in prayer this time that God will continue to overrule in our land. And now we come to that bit that I've been looking forward to, singing. And we're going to sing together the hymn number 9. With harps and with viols there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sings this new song. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. have it before us. You can look it up. You brought your Bibles. You can follow it in the scriptures with us. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honour and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Amen. May God bless his word. Shall we unite in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the precious and the worthy name of thy dear Son, we come with joy in our hearts this day to the house of God, being able to meet again as a congregation publicly in this building for the worship of God and for the exaltation of thy great name. We come in fellowship, the one with the other, as the body of Christ. We thank thee that we are members one of another. And we know that the scripture teaches that we need each other, and God has placed us just where he wants us to be in his mystical body, so that there will be no schism in that body. We know that when one suffers, all suffer, or we ought to. We ought to have that feeling for our brethren and sisters who are in the midst of trial and need. And we know also that when one is honored or blessed in any way, then we all joy together. Lord, we thank thee that part of your body is here today as we gather in worship. And we pray for those that are not able to come, and you know the reasons why. Some of them, Lord, may be anxious and fearful today. We commit them into your care. We pray for those that are sick and laid aside, those perhaps that are at a distance and they cannot be here, though they would love to be. And Lord, we pray for those that are tuning in on Sermon Audio and Facebook, that together as a congregation with those here physically in the building and those that are listening in at home, that we will be blessed together. We come to honor Christ. We come to praise him who has loved us with everlasting love, who has drawn us irresistibly to himself in grace and mercy and love. We thank thee that we are the Lord's people, and you've given to us a joy in our hearts, and it's a special joy today after this 3.5 month period to be back in the house of God. We pray that you will knit our hearts and minds together and bless every part of the service and speak to us, and may we leave rejoicing in the Lord who has wrought all things for our good. We thank thee for protection over these months. We thank thee for helping us get through week by week in our varied circumstances. We do remember our sister congregations, not all of them back today, but some, Lord, seeking to get their people back into the house of God again. Bless them just where they are. Remember Johnny's story today as he preaches down there in Market Hill. We pray for every student, every layman, every minister of the gospel, that thou wilt be with them in the ministry of divine truth this day. Hear and answer our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. We welcome everyone to the house of God today. We remind you the services will be a little bit shorter than normal. There is a time of prayer for the office bearers. We're bringing that to 6 o'clock, and we will have it in the church hall. We'll be able to stand there and keep our social distancing. The gospel service is tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be here, God willing, to preach. And the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. We've asked our clerk of session, our brother Phil Moffat, to speak on Thursday night. I hope to be here, but we will be away just for a few days at the start of the week, coming back on Thursday, and that allows us to do that. Thank you, Phil, for stepping in. Again, we thank you for sending in your tithes, offerings, building fund, Let the Bible Speak, missionary covenant support, and of course the contributions to the school and other gifts that have come in. The committee would encourage you to continue using transfers if that's possible. With the passage of time, everyone's got older. Some of you have managed to get haircuts at home, or someone has done it for you, and others it is quite evident you have not been to the hairdresser for quite a while. Everyone's going to be queued up tomorrow. There'll be lines of people down the streets, for tomorrow the hairdressers are opening. But with the passage of time, we're getting older. And there have been a few birthdays yesterday, and one that I want to mention, and that's Denise McCauley, because we do mention very significant birthdays. Being impolite to mention what age Denise would be, we'll let you work that out for yourself. But it is the round figure, and you look at her, it's bound to be 40, 50 or 60, something like that, so you work it out. The holiday Bible clubs in the summertime, organised by the Mission Board, will be, first of all, from the 20th to the 24th of July, and then in mid-August there will be another arranged. These will go out at 10 o'clock in the morning. There will be singing, quizzes, Bible stories, crafts and more for the children. So we just want you to make you aware of that. We continue to pray for the frontline services, the doctors, nurses and so forth, all involved in hospital work in these days. We continue to remember the sick and the needy at the throne of grace in prayer. And these are the names that for many weeks now, most of them we've been praying over. We remember our missionaries at home and abroad in the various countries where we have those that we know who love the Lord and serving the Lord, and we seek to support. We come now to hymn 27. And it's "Come, let us with our Lord arise, our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made, and rose triumphant from the dead. He rose the Prince of Life and Peace, and stamped the day for ever his."
Thank you.
Come to the Word of God, to Hebrews chapter 10. As we turn to it, and we've welcomed everyone today, we do appreciate all that the congregation has done over the past 3.5 months, all the encouragement that has been to the oversight of this church. Thank the session and committee for their work, for the subcommittee who got the church in order so that we can worship like this today. There's a lot of work had to be done behind the scenes. We thank you in the Saviour's name. And for Paul, who maintained the cause with me up there in the media centre, just the two of us in church for 3.5 months, I in the pulpit and Paul up there. And we want to acknowledge that and thank him sincerely in the Lord's great name. We welcome back our organist and pianist. They had to come in this morning for a wee tune-up just to make sure the organ and piano were working, and they get a wee practice because it's been so long since we've been here. But we're glad to be here, we're glad to be in the Word, and we want to read some verses now from this 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, commencing at verse 19, reading to verse 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Ending our reading at the 25th verse, may the Lord bless it to our hearts. We're going to pray. Let's take a moment to look to the Lord and ask his help and blessing in the Word. Lord, how good it is to be in your house today, in the assembly of God's people. Thank thee for the opportunity. Thank thee for such a blessing that this is, both to pastor and people. Thank thee for your Word. And as we think about it for a little time today, Lord, be pleased to close us in with yourself and speak to every heart. Realize, Lord, that I need thee more than ever for this service, praying earnestly that the Spirit of God will equip me, will fill me, will give me the words to say that will be appropriate and fitting for this time. And so, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, and may Christ be glorified as a result of us coming together in his name today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The assembly of the saints is the subject that I want to deal with. We're assembled together. We're here in God's house. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is our text. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We are where we ought to be when it's possible to be here. I hope you got that. And that's in God's house, with God's people, regarding God's day, studying God's Word, and worshiping God in the glorious Trinity of his persons. It is the mind and the will of God that has church, the body of believers, redeemed and purchased by the blood of Christ, attend public seasons of worship on the Lord's Day, and we encourage that. We encourage, of course, twice on the Sabbath day, and if at all possible, the midweek service too. Now, there are exemptions, and there are people at home today for some of these reasons. One exemption, of course, is sickness, illness that prevents us from coming to the Lord's house, including coronavirus, or even having the symptoms of the virus. We're asking people to stay away. That's not the usual thing that we do, is it? We want people to be here. But if you have the symptoms, stay at home. Another exemption is those who are shielding. or those that are nervous in coming. We fully understand that there will be those that perhaps are apprehensive coming out for the first time, and they may give it a little bit of period of time before they come back to God's house. We fully understand that. And for those who have a location where they do not live near a Bible-believing church, we understand that maybe the best thing that they have is sermon audio or Facebook or some of these other means on the internet. But this is a delightful day. We are conducting our first worship service. We're glad to see you all. We really mean that. You know how difficult it has been for this preacher, how difficult coming into this building completely empty, knowing that the only person physically present was Paul up there, and trying to get around that in my mind. Well, I know that out there on the internet people are listening, but it has been a difficult time. We have not had a Sunday service for 15 weeks, for 105 days, 3.5 months. We could never have dreamed that this would have been a possible thing. It's like something Hollywood fantasizes about, a deadly virus that's going to shut down the world. For 105 days, the church has not met here, just remotely on the internet. But God has answered prayer. We pray that the Lord will be pleased to bring us to this day where church buildings could reopen. He has created the circumstances permitting the doors to be opened again. Aren't you glad that you're here in the house of God? Aren't you glad that you're with the Lord's people, those of like precious faith, in fellowship together? Public worship is part of what we are as those who are saved by grace. God has brought us into a body. We are members one of another. Public gatherings for fellowship is part of the means of grace. We speak about the means of grace, and when we do so, we are referring to those things divinely appointed and given for our spiritual well-being, for our strength, development, progress, and for successful Christian living. God has given us the means of grace that we might grow in grace, that we might become strong in the Lord in the power of his might, that we might be anchored firmly in the foundations of faith, that we might be kept from backsliding. In evangelical reformed churches, we refer to the ordinary means of grace, and so we have the Word of God, we have the place of prayer, the throne of God, we have the sacraments, and we have public worship. In fact, when we speak about the Word of God, that is undoubtedly primarily the preached Word of God, where the congregation can come and listen to divine truth. And so we ought to be here. I often think of the converts from the day of Pentecost. And if you want to know how to go on with God, and when we have our convert classes, this is one of the passages. In fact, it is the main passage that we deal with in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, where we see these believers who have just come to Christ, they've just been converted, how they go on with God, the things that they are strong in. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's the Word, and in fellowship. And that's what's happening here. We're together as a body of people, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. If you're a Christian, you will possess an inbred desire planted by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in the heart to fellowship, to worship God publicly. You will feel in your soul a deep love for the courts of God, his house where he is worshipped and served. You've got to feel like the psalmist in the Psalm 26 and verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. You will feel as David did, if David wrote the Psalm 84 in verse 10, for a day in my courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And when the Sabbath comes, and other meetings too, you will be able to identify with the words of the Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Is that how you felt today? There was a gladness. Maybe somebody said to you, maybe somebody in the family, let's go up to the house of God today. And when you heard that, when you heard that you were able to come back to the house of God, when that was announced, there was a joy that filled your heart. You can be very sure of your backslidings and your coldness of heart and your lack of love for the Savior when you lose your joy in coming to the house of God. It's just symptomatic of what the real condition of the heart is. And it's likely that you've lost your joy reading and studying and meditating upon the Word. You've lost your joy praying. You've lost your joy singing. You've lost your joy witnessing and serving the Lord too. There is no doubt when the Holy Spirit is working in hearts and producing deeper desires for God and greater longings after Christ, that church attendance becomes one of the greatest priorities. In every major revival, this was one of the outstanding features of God's grace when He came down and He visited a place and the people. Church attendance grew. Church buildings became too small. In fact, in times of revival, including the 1859 revival in this country, more churches were built to accommodate the people that were now flocking to the house of God. In future days of amazing blessing, this will be one of the features manifested in such times. In Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and so forth in that text. And so as we look to the future and the mighty movings of God, in fact, probably the greatest moving of God ever, people will be saying to each other, let us go. Let us go to the house of the Lord. And that's the way it ought to be. And so I'm going to talk just for a little while about the assembly of the saints. And there is, first of all, a clear-cut command in our text. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The mind of God is revealed here. You will not get it clearer than this. It has been well pointed out that the word saint never occurs in the singular, and inevitably it is plural. Why? Because God wants His people, His saints, to be together as the people of God. The word used here, assembling, means to gather. To gather together, to meet together. It seems that worship meetings are in mind. The Greek word that is used is episynagoge, and that suggests an official assembly. And so we have, as we think of this command to come to the house of God, we have the exhortation of God's word. And one of the clearest and the greatest exhortations is here in our text, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But not only the exhortation of God's word, we have the example of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our representative and example in all things, was a worshiper in the sanctuary, an attender at the Lord's house, a lover of the fellowship of the saints. And at the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4, you remember, in verse 16 we read, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and on this occasion he stood up to read, and he read from the prophecy of Isaiah. So the Lord Jesus, he went to the house of God. It was his custom. Is it your custom today? In chapter 12 and verse 9 of Matthew's gospel, we see the Lord again going to the place of worship. The exhortation of God's word, the example of God's Son, and the exercise of God's people, the chosen saints of God, both in the Old Testament times and in the New Testament, they made their way to God's house. You think of those marvelous days that I referred to already when Pentecost came and there was a great move of God. And just prior to that, the Lord Jesus has died. He's risen again. He's gone back to glory. The disciples were told to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And as they were obeying the Lord, this is what we read in Luke chapter 24, the last two verses.
And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 14, they're back again in the house of God, worshiping the Lord. The exercise of God's people. And then we have the encouragement of God's promise. And what is that promise? The promise to those who come collectively, who assemble together. What is the promise? It's the promise of blessing. You will know the blessing of God when you come to God's house. Psalm 84 and verse 4 declares, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." And then secondly, in this text there, I want you to notice the carelessness, a careless condition, as the manner of some is. As the manner of some is. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You see the word manner that is used here by the apostle? It means habit or custom. Church attendance should be our manner. It should be our habit. It should be our desire. Like the Lord Jesus, when we mentioned that text in Luke chapter 4, it was his custom. It was the habit of Christ. But sadly, you can allow your manner to be in the opposite way. It is so easy to fall into a state of spiritual disrepair and negligence and indifference that your habit becomes non-church attendance. You miss one Sunday, then you miss another, and then another. And it's not long before you have drifted away from the house of God altogether. There are those who can find all kinds of excuses for such neglect and disobedience. I emphasize again, I'm not referring to the sick. I'm not referring to the nervous. I'm not referring to those who have no church near them. The words of Scripture are talking here about able-bodied people with their health, strength, faculties, and opportunity. But excuses can be found. It's too far to travel. Well, not for most of you. Too much is expected of me. I don't like some of the people that attend that church. I don't care much for the preacher. The service is too long. Well, not today. It's going to be shortened today. I've worked hard all week, and I'm tired. At the end of the day, these are just excuses. Lame excuses. Sometimes something happens in a person's life to bring discouragement, and they stop attending. Maybe some disagreement that they've had with another believer. Maybe an offense that is taken with a sermon preached. Maybe a personal trial or trouble that has overtaken them in life's journey. And it has brought a spirit of discouragement. And some folks just stop attending. These are all matters that need to be sorted out before the Lord so that we can obey the Lord and obey this text of Scripture. We are to be an encouragement to each other, as we shall see just in a moment or two. Our text is tied in with what goes before. You'll see there's no full stop here as we come back to chapter 10 of Hebrews. And what we read here in verses 23 and 24 is how it ought to be. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. One of our Bible commentators has said, forsaking fellowship is a sure way to give place to discouragement. This discouragement festers where God's people are not exhorting one another. This writer went on to say, some only go to church if they feel they need it at the time. But our motivation for fellowship must be to obey God and to give to others. We can and should gather with believers to encourage someone who needs to stand strong against the tide of discouragement. And then he lists the following. We gather to receive something from God. We gather to give something to God. We gather to encourage each other by our shared faith and values. We gather to bless one another. We gather to work together. Because it's so important that Christians gather together, Things that work against that gathering must be regarded as serious dangers. If any matter ever arises to stop us from attending church, especially when it is to do with other people, we must move heaven and earth to sort it out, because we are a body. We are Christ's body. That's who we are. You've got to view each other in Christ, who we are and what we are in Him, and then what we are to each other in the purpose of Almighty God. John Trapp, one of the English Puritans from the 17th century, he said, schism is the very putting asunder of the very veins and arteries of the mystical body of Christ. We may not separate, but in the sense of intolerable persecution, heresy, idolatry, and anti-Christianism. So he gives you some of the reasons why maybe we do need to separate. But otherwise, as the body, we ought to be together. Let it not become your habit not to fellowship and not to be in the assembly. Then thirdly, there's a crucial counsel, exhorting one another or encouraging one another. You want to be like the Barnabases of this world. You want to be there to encourage. This world is full of enough discouragement and discouragers without you and I joining their ranks. It's the easiest thing in the world to become a minister of discouragement, to criticize somebody's work and efforts, to pour water, cold water, upon their enthusiasm, to say a careless word that unnecessarily offends, to possess an attitude that causes another Christian to stumble. God forbid that we would ever be among the ranks of the discourager. One of the highest human duties, and not least among believers, is that of encouragement. You have a word in season for other people. You have a helpful comment to encourage them in life's journey. You put your arm around a brother or a sister. You mightn't be able to do it today with the social distancing, but when you can, certainly metaphorically, you put your arm around them and you spur them on in the Christian life. And so I say, go and cheer up your brother or your sister in Christ today. There is a regulation of the Royal Navy which says, no officers shall speak discouragingly to another officer in the discharge of his duties. Eliphaz unwillingly paid Job a great tribute. As Moffat translates it, it's the words of Job 4 and 4, but I'll give you the paraphrase of it. Your words have kept men on their feet. That's what Job was. Your words have kept men on their feet. Have you and I been like that? We want to exhort one another, exhort others to live for Christ, exhort them to stand up for Jesus, exhort them to defend His cause, exhort them to be a witness for Him, exhort them to go on outreach work, exhort them to get involved in church life, serving in the body of Christ, exhort them to practice good works, exhort them to flee from sin, exhort them to avoid backsliding, exhort them to be engaged in fervent prayer, to stand boldly in the spread of the gospel, exhort them to love their brethren more, exhort them to be greater students of the word, exhort them to be out and out for Christ, and not least to exhort others to be faithful in the public assembly, to say as the psalmist did in that text that we mentioned earlier, the Psalm 122 and verse 1, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go to the worship service on the Sabbath day. Let us go to the gospel meeting on the Sabbath evening. Let us go to the midweek service and other meetings too. You remember how the old Methodist preachers conducted meetings when they went together to take a service? One became the preacher, the other became the exhorter. And so one man would preach the word and the other, the exhorter, he would sit at the back of the church and he would, from time to time, shout out words of encouragement. Preach it, brother. I'm with you, brother. That kind of thing. And then they would swap over and the exhorter became the preacher and the preacher became the exhorter. Well, that's a great picture of what we ought to be as the Lord's people, exhorting one another. And then just to conclude with, there is a compelling consideration. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day here is the day of Christ. It's His glorious second coming. Oh, the Lord is coming again, and that day of the Lord is near. The pestilence of COVID-19 has been a reminder of this, because pestilence is one of the things that we are to expect in the last days. And as we see this day approaching, the Word of God tells us here, we are to be all the more committed to the fellowship of God's people. Christians are to live every day in the light of the return of Christ, walking with the thought, will this be the day? Waking up in the morning, wondering, will this be the day? And living in the light of that. The life of the child of God must be lived with this in view. Jesus is coming again. He will descend with power, and He will come in judgment. He will come taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He will call His people to Himself. There is the judgment seat before which we will stand one day. We will stand to give an account. We will stand to give an account of how we have conducted ourselves and our faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the church, to the Word, to prayer, to the souls of men, to our families, to our neighbors, how we ought to exhort one another. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And in the light of that glorious day that is yet to be, when Jesus shall come again, let us be faithful and let us exhort one another in the words of this text, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The assembling of the saints. Thank God we're back in God's house. We're glad to see you. And may the Lord help us to be faithful to Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the occasion. Thank Thee for this first Lord's Day after these many days when the pews were emptied, that we can have God's people here again. Some have come perhaps and they don't know the Lord. We pray that You will speak to them and bring them to Christ. We believe that You have been speaking in these days. You've been reminding men and women that Jesus is coming again and we need to be ready. And Lord, in the light of that day, we ought to be the men and women of exhortation, exhorting one another, encouraging one another. We know that when we come to a verse like this and we read it and try to understand it, that this is the mind of God revealed to us. And so we pray that we will live in the light of it and obey the Lord, and that we will know sweet fellowship the one with the other as we come here to the public fellowship of God's people. Bless those that can't be here. Remember them just now where they are at home. Maybe some are discouraged. Maybe some are sick. Maybe some are shielding. May they know the blessing that we've enjoyed. Even though they're not with us publicly, may they be blessed in their souls. Separate us now with the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for worshiping with us at Hebron today, both here in the church and those that have been listening in on the internet. There is a way to go out, and you'll be asked to leave in that way to get you out safely. So the stewards will do that. They will indicate to you when you can leave. Thank you very much. God bless you.